A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God, and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
So this is the first Sunday of Lent. It's not Sunday, rather, it's Monday. My apologies. Lent is that season in the church year when we repent of our sins and prepare for Jesus' death and resurrection at Easter. And our reading today is about Jesus being tempted. Before I talk about the reading and how it relates to our lives, I want to ask you, how many of you grew up with WWJD bracelets? A handful. We're a really mixed background group here, so it's not everyone, but even if you didn't have one, you maybe saw one. And I think that's an instructive entry point into this passage, because while it's a meaningful phrase that comes from a really good place of wanting to follow Jesus and be his disciples, thank you, Asa. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? So the idea is, when you are faced with a challenge, stop and think, what would Jesus do? But the problem, of course, is that we live in the 21st century, and Jesus lived in the first century. We live in America, and Jesus lived in Palestine. And so we face all sorts of issues that he never did, and he faced all sorts of issues that we never will. So that's one problem. But the second problem is that we are not Jesus, and we never will be, and that is very good news. We don't have to do the sort of things that Jesus did. That's not our calling and vocation in life. So our reading today is one of these situations where WWJD just doesn't quite exactly apply. You know, sometimes people will read a passage like this and think, oh, I need to be strong like Jesus and resist the temptation to eat chocolate because I gave it up for Lent. And the devil is going to test me and try to get me to eat chocolate, but I'm going to stand firm. And you know that it's a real temptation. It really is. I was talking to a friend who, when he was a kid, he was like, I gave up sweets when I was a kid, and that was the hardest thing for me to do. And I really felt like I was doing something to honor Jesus by giving up sweets. And I was like, okay, maybe I shouldn't make so much fun of it. But my point is that the temptations that Jesus is facing here are different than the temptations that we face. These are about his temptations as the Son of God, and none of us are the Son of God. So this is not an instance of the Bible being basic instructions before leaving Earth. Have you heard that one also? Yes. B-I-B-L-E. This is a passage that points to Jesus and tells us about him and who he is and what kind of Messiah, what kind of Christ, what kind of anointed one, what kind of Son of God, beloved child of God, he is going to be. It doesn't tell us about what we are supposed to do in our callings. As usual with Scripture, the context is important. The circumstances, what stands around the text, is important. And so the passage that comes right before this is the baptism of Jesus. And in the baptism of Jesus, a holy dove, the Holy Spirit descends in bodily form in a dove, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved. This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." Apologies. The baptism is not immediately before. There's a genealogy. And I find genealogies fascinating. They tell you a lot about society, a culture, and a person, and a story. But we're going to fast forward through that genealogy tonight. So the baptism, and then Jesus is tempted. So as soon as his vocation, his calling, is publicly announced, he is tested in that vocation. In the Bible, the number 40 symbolizes a time of trial or testing. So the 40 days of the great flood and Noah's Ark, the 40 years of wandering through the wilderness in the Exodus, and the 40 days of Jesus in the wilderness being tested in his vocation. And 40 days is also the amount of time that we celebrate Lent for. That's the tie-in, this period of testing, of trial, of what is that vocation to which we are called and how will we live into that. Jesus's temptations were challenges to his calling as the Son of God. When you look at them, you see the devil is trying to pull him away from his mission, to make him disobey God and to seek after the ways of the world, wealth, power, glory, to take instead of give, to put himself at the center instead of God, to test God instead of trusting God. But Jesus, wittily, has responses every time. He resists these temptations to turn away from God, to turn away from the true nature of his calling. He resists those temptations. And resistance is part of his calling, and it is part of our calling, too. During Lent, instead of our regular form of sermon sharing, we'll be writing confessions on slips of paper and tying them onto the branches hanging above us. Tonight, in particular, I invite you to reflect on your lives and the ways in which we fail to live out our callings. Our calling is not to be the Son of God. Our calling is not to be the Savior of the world, thank goodness. We are called to make a difference in the world, to try to change things, to love and care for one another. But the healing of the cosmos does not depend on us. Tonight, I want us to reflect on our own callings, the places that God has called us to be witnesses to his love and mercy. Where has God called you? And how have you sometimes tried to avoid that call, that purpose that God has set apart for you? What excuses do you give for distorting that call? How have you let it be co-opted by possibilities for wealth, for authority, or prestige? It is so easy for us to point the finger at others, the speck in your neighbor's eye, not seeing the log in our own, right? It is painful to take responsibility and name the sin within ourselves. God desires for us joy and fullness of life. That is the message of the gospel. That is why Jesus came. But we turn away from God and the purposes to which God has called us. Repentance is the act of turning back toward God, of acknowledging our sins and asking for forgiveness. So I invite you now to confess your failure to live into the life to which God has called you. Please take one of these gray pieces of paper and take a few minutes to reflect and write your confession on that piece of paper. When you are finished, please fold it in half and wait in silence. Our reading today ends with an ominous line. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Even at the beginning of Luke's gospel, he is already pointing to the end, to the cross, to Jesus's suffering and death, to the moment that we are preparing for during Lent. The good news for us as we confess our sins, our failures, is that Jesus withstood temptation and Jesus lived into the vocation to which he was called. During those 40 days, and in the dreadful moment on the cross. And it is because of that, that we believe that he has the power to cover our sins, to forgive them. Traditionally, Lent was actually about preparing for baptism. And for those who had already been baptized, it was about preparing to renew their baptismal vows. Baptism stands at the center of our vocation. No amount of noise can push it out. Baptism unites us with Christ. It unites us with him in his death and his resurrection, so that his righteousness, a word with such thick layers of meaning, his goodness, his mercy, his ability to withstand temptation, to resist the powers that be, his ability to trust God and have faith in situations where we fall into despair and doubt. All of that is ours. All of that is a holy gift for us. So to symbolize that gift that we have been given through Christ, I invite you to do a second thing with your pieces of paper. They are folded in half. On that outside, draw or write something that symbolizes Jesus and his mercy, covering your sins, holding you in his loving embrace. When you are finished, I invite you to tie your confession, wrapped in God's forgiveness, to the branches hanging above us. May you go in peace tonight, freed from all your sins, and trusting that God loves you. Amen.